It took many decades, but there is general consensus now that fire is not only inevitable on the dry wildlands of the West, but fire is also desirable. The ecosystems that 19th century settlers found when they moved in got this way through regular doses of fire. And as we turn back toward knowledge that Native Americans possessed, the idea of burning wildlands deliberately and more often, so less intensely, gains credence once again. Right now, we'll visit with the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association about its approach to introducing fire to the landscape. Lenya Quinn Davidson is an area fire advisor for the University of California Cooperative Extension, or UCCE. Lenya, welcome to the exchange.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Jeff Stackhouse is with us as well. He's also with UCCE, a livestock and natural resources advisor. Welcome, Jeff.
Good morning.
And Dean Hunt is with us as well, rancher and president of the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association. Hi, Dean.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It's good to have all you here. Lenya, let's start with you. You, Jeff, apparently were in this from the beginning. Talk about the formation of the PBA.
Yeah, well, we're both extension advisors, and we work a lot with local landowners. And there just been a strong desire among a lot of the people that we worked with to have prescribed fire on their properties. And we didn't really have great answers about, you know, how to bring it back as a tool for these private landowners. And so in 2017, Dean and Jeff and I went out to Nebraska to learn more about some landowner-led models for using prescribed fire. And we got really inspired by what we saw out there, which was basically landowners doing this work themselves. And in the West and in California, we had never really seen models like that. Most of the prescribed burning that happens is done by federal and state agencies. And so we decided to come back and try our hand at a kind of a model that looked like the Nebraska model. And it's hit the ground running and been really successful.
So, Jeff, talk about what you saw in Nebraska, because I can't imagine that we were, you know, burning heavily forested areas or anything like that.
Yeah, no, the problems in Nebraska in terms of land management are very similar to our own in terms of woody encroachment. So particularly in the northeastern part of the state where we have juniper encroaching, you know, historical sagebrush country, in the Midwest, they have another a separate juniper species that encroaches their prairies as well. On the coast in Humboldt County, we actually fight Douglas fir is our encroaching species. Shasta County, you often see, Shasta and Siskiyou County, you often see incense cedar coming into systems. So the woody encroachment problem is everywhere. And what we saw in Nebraska was just an amazing group of kind of average people conducting fire in a very professional manner, but using maybe a little non-standard, I guess, set of equipment. So instead of having giant, you know, fire trucks with lots of water and hose and all of the other apparatuses that they have, it was ranchers out there with side-by-sides and herbicide sprayers and backpack pumps. And yes, indeed, they did have, you know, volunteer fire departments there with larger water sources, but it was herbicide sprayers and standard equipment you would see on anyone's farm, all the way, you know, up to a water tender, all the way down to a four-wheeler and a shovel. So it was amazing how the folks back there could work together and do stuff that in the West we always rely on agencies to do. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that was very important that we're still struggling with on the coast is that in the Midwest, the Nebraska model, people, it's part of the culture now to prioritize fire when the weather window is right. So we could go into a day not planning on burning, see the weather shift, and all of a sudden there's 60 people that dropped everything that they had planned for the day and showed up and helped their neighbor get a burn completed.
So that must be a real appeal, Dean Hunt, for you as a landowner to be able to take on this stuff yourself with the help of a group of people who feel like you do.
Yes, it's... It's something that we've looked at for years. For years I knew that a lot of burning had gone on, and probably the last big burn that I saw was about 36 years ago when I was dating my wife and we went out to their ranch, and I looked over and I said, "Oh my God, what's going on over there?" And she goes, "Oh, Daddy's out burning the leaves," which he would do every fall.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, consequently, when he'd burn the leaves, he'd keep the conifers out of there. And it wasn't too long after that that he got nervous about doing it with the subdivisions coming in. He'd go out in on an evening and think that the leaves looked right and just set them on fire, taking a ride around the mountain. But we watched on our property, which isn't, it's probably 6 or 7 miles as a crow flies from that ranch, and I had never seen any burning on it except for burning some slash piles and stuff. But we knew we needed to do something, and when I really got inspired to do a lot more, we're one of our neighbors in the town of Bridgeville is our CDF, California Department of Forestry, and they had talked about these prescribed burns that they could do, and we did one of the first ones for a long time in our area on our ranch with Cal Fire. Through that is when I got really inspired and got talking to Jeff and Lania, and we took off and went to Nebraska, and we could really see the need for it, because not only is the conifer encroachment a problem, but we have some invasive grasses that have come in, Medusa head, and we could see that we could do some control burns on those in the spring of the year and do some good there. So it's been fun to be able not to rely on a government agency to get something done. We were able to get out and do it ourselves.
We're talking about the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association here on the Jefferson Exchange with Dean Hunt, who's the president and a local rancher. Lania Quinn Davidson and Jeff Stackhouse are with the University of California Cooperative Extension. They were all in on the beginning of this just a year ago. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So the more we describe this, Lania, it sounds like we're really not talking about forested lands, but more open areas, more meadow kinds of ranchy areas.
Actually, you know, we do all kinds of burning, and Humboldt County has a lot of diverse ecosystems and habitat types, and we're touching down in all of those places. So a lot of our bigger burns have been in oak woodlands and in coastal prairies and rangelands where we're seeing a lot of encroachment by shrubs. But we've also done some burns in forested areas for fuels reduction. We've actually done burns right around homes. We did a 3-acre burn in Shelter Cove last year that was right up against a house and really going to protect that house from future wildfire. So yeah, we're doing it all. We burn for those invasive grasses that Dean talked about, and then the encroachment issues and fuels reduction.
So I want to come back, Jeff Stackhouse, to you, because you mentioned insecticide sprayers in the Nebraska trial that you guys watched. Is that to spray water?
Yes, correct. Yeah, It's just a different model, like I was saying. Here we have individual large engines, and back there they have kind of a mosquito fleet, if you will, of maybe 20 sprayers that just connect to either a four-wheeler or a side-by-side battery that maybe hold 10 gallons instead of 400. And I guess I was just really impressed by the effectiveness of the mosquito fleet to be more nimble, I guess, and more fast on the attack than what we have as a Western model of these, you know, very large apparatuses that are slow moving.
So we have a small scale, but light and flexible.
Correct.
Because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Dean Hunt, who is involved in the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association? You got private landowners. Who else?
We got private landowners. We have just private individuals that aren't in the ranching. They have a desire to get out and do good things for the land and do burning. Small landowners that just have a 40 or something like that out in the hills, and they want to do these good things to the ground. And the big thing to us, we're not only cattlemen, we're also... we want to benefit the wildlife. We like our wildlife. And the big thing we have seen by doing what we're doing is we're preserving wildlife habitat by keeping this ground, oak woodlands, free from the conifers, and by keeping the prairies and stuff opened up more.
Then I understand that people pay to be members of the Prescribed Burn Association?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. How much burning has been done so far?
You know, in the last...
Go ahead, Lainey.
Yeah, we've been burning as a group for about 2.5 years. We officially formed 2 years ago, but we have been burning a little bit before that. And we've burned just over 1,200 acres. And that's in projects of all different sizes. So we've had some big ones that were more than 300 acres, and then a bunch of little tiny projects. So I think we've done about 24 total burns as a group for just over 1,200 acres.
Now, it seems like, Lainey, that the conditions for using prescribed burns would be very different in different parts of Humboldt County, because you have the coastal wet area, then you don't have to move that far inland to get away from that.
Yeah, that's true. So we're able to take advantage of that and really, be able to take advantage of different burn windows as they come up. And sometimes it'll be too wet near the coast, but we can go inland and get some good burning done. And alternatively, sometimes it's too dry inland and we'll find ourselves burning, right near the ocean. So it kind of gives us a nice flexibility.
How much prep has to be done on the land to keep the fire manageable to potentially get to where Jeff was talking about with the mosquito fleet?
Jeff, you want to answer that?
Yeah, and I guess that's highly variable on the project and on the landscape. So you can use a lot of landscape characteristics to contain a burn safely, but they don't always match. Well, seldom actually do they match the landowner map. So oftentimes, if you can have multi-landowner burns, you're able to utilize the natural features of the landscape better, which requires less preparation. But our preparation goes from the heavy-handed end of bulldozer lines to the light-handed end of using a mower or a weed whacker and just knocking the vegetation down. So it's very variable. It depends on the time of year, the volatility of the fuels, the expected flame heights, and other things. In the winter, oftentimes we don't use any lines because the north side of the slope is very damp and the south side of the slope is only going to burn for a couple hours in the middle of the afternoon from 1 to 3 maybe, and then it kind of naturally dies down. So we go everything from bare mineral soil that's 8 feet wide to nothing. And so it's really project dependent and weather dependent.
Now, we got an email here already from Randy in Rouche, who says, I've been doing small scalp burning on my 40 acres in the Applegate Valley near Rouche. I burn small areas when the ground moisture is perfect. I wouldn't recommend this for the uninitiated, but the results are excellent. So let's talk about lessons learned, things that the landowners need to do before they start doing this, Dean Hunt. I can't imagine that, for example, your father-in-law would be able to do what he was doing 36 years ago today.
I think he probably could. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's passed now, but 36 years ago, he was only, 50 years old. So, that makes a big difference. I think what I have learned from it is a lot is just the layout and where it's going to go. We've done some burning here in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you really get, through what we've learned through the Prescribed Burn Association, you get to know a little bit about fire behavior. You get to know that when Jeff talks about the north side and how it's going to die down and how, there's only a certain time of the day that it'll burn. So, I think it's really been good in that aspect of things. And, when you look at the picture, we're really taking baby steps. Mm-hmm. We're 1,200 acres in the scheme of California isn't a huge number, but we want to prove ourselves. We don't want to have a national disaster breakout with what we're doing. So we're doing good things. Everybody's getting more and more educated on how it works, and it's coming around to where if you talk to an old timer that used to do a lot of burning, they don't have a lot of fear about it.
Yeah.
They did so much of it, and I think it's just the educational part is what we're learning now and getting more comfortable doing what we're doing.
Lainey Quinn Davidson, what about the regulatory part, though? I mean, are there? I imagine there are some proscriptions about when to burn, conditions in which to burn. You got air quality maintenance areas to deal with, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a consideration. And in California, we do have to have air quality permits year-round for all of our prescribed fire projects. And for projects more than 1 acre in size in Humboldt County, we have to have a smoke management plan. So those are just, you know, things you have to get in place so that you can be ready to burn when the conditions are right. From May 1st through late fall, we also have to secure a permit from CAL FIRE. And we have a really great relationship with CAL FIRE in our unit. And I think one of the benefits of being part of the Prescribed Burn Association and, you know, working with this group is that it does kind of open doors with CAL FIRE. They come out and look at our projects, very supportive of the work we're doing because they know that they can't get this work done on their own. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, the burden was kind of on them to do this prescribed firework, and they weren't able to do it at a scale that was meaningful. So we work on the permits. We have to do site visits sometimes, and it hasn't been a huge issue for us. It sometimes can get complicated. But in general, great support from our regulatory agencies.
Now, Jeff Stackhouse, it looks like these burns can become something of a social event. I noticed you have events at wineries, for example.
Yeah. So not only is each burn a social event, because we kind of treat it a lot like a branding, if you're familiar with that culture, where neighbors helping neighbors, people mm-hmm. show up to your burn, and at the end you have a barbecue and drink beer and socialize. And then the next time you go to your neighbor's place and they hold a similar function. But also for our annual meetings, we always like to have food and drink and really, really let all sides of the community interact with each other, learn from each other, and understand why fire is such a shared element and a shared interest of all aspects of our very diverse culture on the North Coast.
And Dean Hunt, you have some people in the organization who are not rural landowners, is that right?
Well, yeah, that's right. And that's one thing that I've always been very much in favor of, is that we're inclusive in whatever we do. excuse me. We want everybody out there. It's a good chance to meet people that we wouldn't have the chance to co-mingle with and work with and talk to. So it's been a great deal for that aspect, for other people to get out and see what we're doing and why we're doing it, and also we can learn from them, because a lot of those people know quite a bit about fire and stuff and have a good work ethic and want to get out and give us a hand. So, no, it's been good.
Lainey, about 30 seconds left. Are there other PBAs already extant in California that you had a chance to borrow some stuff from?
No, we were the first PBA, but we're seeing them pop up all over the place. So we've really inspired a lot of movement in this direction, and there are about 9 other counties that have PBAs either formed or almost ready to form.
Okay, PBAs being, of course, Prescribed Burn Associations. We're talking to the folks at the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association, which is a collection of private landowners and a lot more, too. Lainey Quinn Davidson and Jeff Stackhouse from the University of California Cooperative Extension. We're in on the ground floor along with Dean Hunt, PBA president and local rancher. They've all been our guests on the Exchange today, and for that we thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care.